Welcome everybody to our April 30th, 2025 Commissioners Court meeting. Let the record reflect that we have a quorum. All the commissioners are here. I'd like to ask that you please stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance, followed by a word of prayer.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one indivisible.
Lord, thank you for the time that we can come together. We ask that you watch over this meeting and just go with our decisions as we make decisions on how to run our county. Be with our state officials also as we're meeting up in Austin and doing the same thing up there and trying to do what's best for our state. Be with our national leaders. Be with the military that are deployed all over the world. Bring our folks back home to us safely. Watch over and guide our direction in all we do. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Item number four, any public comments? Mr. Caulfield?
Good morning, Commissioners.
Good morning.
I have two things to talk to you about this morning, and I'm not going to be griping. I've got good things to say about you guys and some other folks here. First of all, you're going to be considering a lot combination for me as part of your agenda item number 10. I thank you for taking a look into it, and I hope you'll make a wise decision on it. This is the second hurdle I've had to go through on that. My first one was to get my wife to agree to it. That was far greater of a hurdle, but this one still remains, so I thank you for that. The other thing is, 1 year ago today, we woke up and walked out, and things were broke all over the county. This is the exact 1 year anniversary of this, we called the May storms, but they really came on April 29th and 30th, or the first wave of them. During that time, I had to work with Commissioner Natuno quite a bit to try to figure out how we could fix the damage up in the north part of the county. I wanted to give Mark some kudos, some compliments. We worked well together under fire. It was difficult. We talked to each other probably six or seven times in about 3 days. And we were winging it. We were making decisions on the fly. And it ended up with Mark taking the big stuff. And there were some huge problems up there in that part of the county. We were worried for a while that water would not be accessible. We had worries about all three of the major ways into Waterwood. During that time, Mark and I just figured out how to do it, just man to man. Mark has been great to work with during the entire year since. We had to pay for a lot of that out of homeowner association's funds, which is not exactly the way FEMA likes to do things. So FEMA, between me and Mark, we had an agreement in place that we were able to at least work through Precinct 4, do the paperwork for FEMA all year long. And it's been great working with the folks that they have in place. I especially want to thank Miss Caroline Manthey.
Thank you.
Who spent email after email and phone call and questions like, what did you really mean by that? We just don't get it. We got everything set with her, and once it was right with her, she made it right with FEMA. So I thank you for all of that work. And 1 year later, we're on the verge of receiving a reasonable amount of money from the federal government. Who thought that was going to happen back April 30 last year? So thank you all.
Thank you.
And thank
you.
All
yes,
of you guys
you,
for what you did too.
Thank you. Ms. Caroline.
not many times I ask for a raise, right?
I think there's some people here from TAC that if I understand it right, they were supposed to have been on the agenda to do a presentation, and for whatever reason, it didn't make it on there, so they signed up under public comment. But how long is it going to take?
Are you with TAC? 10 minutes? She said 10 minutes.
We're right here. We're with TAC.
Come on up here. Go ahead and but make it. I'm on a schedule this morning. I won't elaborate.
Okay, I understand. Our presentation is going to take about 10 minutes. We would love for it to be longer, but we can try to wrap it up as quick as possible if that's okay with you all.
Go right ahead.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Boy, you better set them up.
Need one for Don. We need one more.
You better show them get that.
You need one more? Here.
That's an attaboy,
wasn't it?
We need
fewer.
It's
okay,
Don.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'll tell you something, Martin, too, no.
She's the one that makes it.
Yes. Well, good morning, Judge and Commissioners. Thank you all so much for having us. My name's Clarissa Messenger. I'm the Employee Benefits Consultant for the East Territory Now. And I also have Tasha Brent, who's your Wellness Consultant for the East Territory as well. So today what we wanted to do was present a mid-year review with y'all and to give you an idea of where your claims data is sitting as we approach renewal season with you all. So on your first page of your packet, you're going to find the value of the TAC Health and Employee Benefits Pool. As a reminder, we are a governmental entity that serves our counties. So our pool currently has around 49,000 lives a part of the pool, which allows us to go out to all of our vendor partners to negotiate the best discounts for you all. We have historically been able to outperform the market, and we have a pooling factor that is an advantage to you all. So we bring in all of our counties and district entities, and we spread the risk among all of them. So if you are to have a hard year in claims, you're helping, or groups that are having a good year in claims are helping to offset your costs. None of the partnerships this upcoming year are changing, so we'll remain with Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Texas for our medical administration and Navitus Health Solutions for our prescription drug plan. If you move to the third page, you'll find a slide that says plan review. That's going to be on the third page at the top. It'll say plan review. This is all of the data that we take into consideration when we're setting your renewal rates. So we look at your current plan design, your coverage. So currently you'll have a grandfathered plan where you've held on to your benefits for your employees and your plan design. You have a $600 individual deductible and an $1,800 family deductible. So if they have dependents on the plan. Prescription plan is pretty standard. It's a tier-based system, and you've got those copays listed there for you. What I do want to focus on is the claims experience. So for a 12-month loss ratio, which means how much we're paying in claims on the medical and pharmacy side, we compare that to what we're receiving in contributions for you all. Y'all are sitting at about a 68%, which means we're receiving more than we're paying in claims for you all, which is a good thing. You usually want a 94% to break even with the pool. So essentially what that means is that for every dollar that we receive from you all in contributions, we're using 94 cents of that dollar to pay for medical and prescription claims. So seeing that y'all are at a 68%, y'all are performing very well over the last 12 months.
We might be looking at a reduction, huh?
Well, let me get there.
Go ahead.
36-month loss ratio is sitting at a 81%. Keep in mind, we don't just look at the last 12 months of data. We want to see the full picture, so we do look at a 36- to 48-month perspective. So when we're setting your renewal rates for the upcoming plan year, we're focusing on that 36-month loss ratio versus just your 12 months. If we focus on a 12-month, a shorter span of time, you could have one claim that really skews your data. And to give you an idea of how the plan or the pool is performing, we are sitting at about 100% loss ratio. Keep in mind, we want that 94% to break even with the pool. So that means that you can expect that the pool needed amount, which is the amount that we need more in claims for the next year, is most likely going to be around a 6 to 8% pool needed amount. Now, that doesn't mean that everyone gets a 6 to 8%. We look at all of these factors that are listed here on that plan review, and we give individual allocations to each of our groups. Historically, that's what the board has approved for us. And so seeing y'all's data that it's currently at around 81%, y'all are performing very well. I would expect you to get below the 6 to 8% for the pool needed amount. You'll also find here a list of high-cost claimants. So you've only had 19 over 10,000, 10 over 20,000, one claimant over 50,000, and one claimant over 100,000.
Our names aren't on here.
They're not. Of course not. So that kind of gives you an idea of what factors we're going to take into consideration when we're setting your renewal rates. Good news is that your data is looking really good, and I would expect and predict that y'all are going to come in below the pool needed amount of 6 to 8%. I'm going to turn to slide number, give me one second, page 4, and it's the bottom slide on the financial dashboard. This is going to give you a 3-year look of your claims cost on medical and pharmacy, and then it'll also show you your total contributions along with your loss ratio. So this slide, I won't go into too much detail, except for the column on the right-hand side, you'll see y'all have spent around $1.1 million in medical and pharmacy claims, and we've received close to $1.67 million in contributions for you guys. So that's where we're getting your loss ratio over the last 12 months. When you look at that full 3-year look, the 81%, you're looking at those 3 years reported here on this slide for you.
So for this year, we're at like 67%, which is great.
Yeah, y'all are doing very well for this last 12 months.
Wellness program must be doing really good.
We are starting that, and Tanya and Dee do a great job of promoting that within the county. I'm going to turn it over to Tasha for the next page.
All right, yes, my name is Tasha Brent, and I am the wellness consultant. Thank you so much for having us out, and I'll try to make this quick. The next slide that we're going to discuss is the one that says top diagnostic categories, and we're just going to look at the very last column on that, covering the last 12 months from April 2004 to March of 2005. You can see here that your top diagnostic category is diseases and conditions of the circulatory system, and then your second diagnostic category is also diseases and conditions of female reproductive system, where your third is conditions of skin and subcutaneous tissues of the skin and breast. So with a combined look at those top three areas, you're looking at about 33.5% of your total medical claim spend from these top three areas for your total medical claim spend for the last 12 months. So you can identify here that these are some of the leading drivers for your claims cost over the last 12 years. And I'll just point out real quickly that your circulatory has been trending as the number one for the last 3 years. So that's just something to keep in mind as we move forward into education and, you know, how we can try to curb the claims experience on this, that is one of the ones, or the one trending number one for the past several years for that area. On the next one, and this does have a 3-year look, so you can see all of the additional data, but for time's sake, we'll just look at the last 12 months. For the next slide, top chronic conditions, again, on that last slide, the last column, we're gonna look at your top three, coronary artery disease, which is gonna then identify with that circulatory being from the last slide as your number one. That's also your number one chronic condition. Also hypertension and congestive heart failure. So all of your top three chronic conditions tend to deal with circulatory heart and hypertension. range and things like that. So that's definitely an area that we're going to want to focus on as we continue to work on the wellness program and educate employees in the resources that they have available to them. And just for these top areas, you can see that 32%, a little over 32% of these top chronic conditions are contributing to your total claims experience for your medical pay. So that's just a way to identify where your claims experience is from the data that we have with claims. The next slide, and those two slides do not incorporate medical or pharmacy prescription claims at all. The next slide is going to determine that. So on the previous slide, you can see that your diabetic claims are number four on your chronic conditions, but they are leading in your medical, in your pharmacy category. Those antidiabetics are very expensive still, even with the prior authorization that we put in place. We are still seeing that a lot of counties across the state are still trending high on those antidiabetics. So that's just something to note. Also, two of your other leading prescriptions are anti-asthmatic medications and anticoagulants. The only other thing that I'll point out on this slide is that several of your medications here are associated with hypertension and heart disease. So again, just going back to that high cost diagnostic area in that top chronic condition, we are seeing that disorders of the circulatory system, hypertension, high cholesterol, things like that are what's leading a lot of your trend right now. And we're gonna move to preventative practices. I do wanna point out, so it's gonna be on the next page. I do wanna point out just real quickly on this one that about, on the last column again, that about 26% of your covered members are receiving their annual physical. So we know that preventative annual exams are important to catch the disease, to make sure that we're managing conditions, and in order to control costs and have keep our employees healthy. So we want to try to focus on getting those numbers up, just because we know that the importance of annual exams. So if you can see, the next column shows that only about 32% of your employees are receiving their annual exam. The next two slides do cover healthy county participation. There is numbers there associated with that. If y'all have any questions on that, we can go into it. But for time's sake, we'll just move to the cost containment strategy on the next page and what we have, what we recommend based on the data that we see. I'm not sure if y'all are familiar with our program, a county-specific incentive program, but we do have a program where we offer to put a program in place where you all can approve a county-specific incentive for your employees based on things like getting their annual physical. And that could look like anything from, you know, using Healthy County reward dollars that you'll be able to receive for creating opportunities to win prizes or gift cards, or even if it's appropriate for your employee base, maybe a PTO day for getting their annual physical or something like that. So y'all's claims look really good right now. We want to make sure that we're keeping that way and that employees are feeling the value of, you know, their well-being. So a county-specific incentive is a great opportunity that also allows you all to receive 30% of your Healthy County employer rewards. Those employer rewards are a way that we give back to the counties for implementing Healthy County programs. And you can see on that top slide under Healthy County participation that y'all have not been receiving very many Healthy County employer rewards. But we are doing a lot. Tanya and Dee have got with me since I have moved into the East Territory, and we have created opportunities for engagement with the Healthy County program. So we're already at about $1,400 just this year that you're going to be receiving in employer rewards, and that's just going to continue to increase. Y'all are eligible for about $7,000 a year, so just this county-specific incentive would incorporate a 30% eligibility for that off the top, and then of course other engagement would increase that as well. Additional ways to contain cost is by completing wellness programs and workshops. I'm here for that, and we do have a lot of things planned with that moving forward. We actually have an event today. And so we are working on those areas. And so lastly, just we do have a program that maintains engagement in chronic condition management, and that's called Teladoc. And so it features programs on managing lifestyles with hypertension and type 2 diabetes. And just with the awareness that we are now presenting and engaging, I do believe we're going to get those numbers up with our Teladoc program in order to kind of catch those hypertension and diabetes numbers. But that's all I had. Do y'all have any questions?
What time is the presentation, the more extensive presentation this afternoon? What time is that?
There is a Healthy County session
one to four.
And that's in the courthouse.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In the jury room. So it's valuable to let your employees know. We've started it this way as like a break room session because it is hard. We know that employees are very busy. It's hard to take an entire hour to come out to a workshop, especially if they don't know what they're coming for. So Tanya had the idea to do this, and it's been a really great idea. We had 37, I believe, come last time to the break room session, and we're just there. We have all the information of the programs. Employees are able to come in. She sends all the flyers for the programs to employees ahead of time and lets them know, like, if you have any questions on these programs, we're here to help answer them. We have just engagement opportunities and things for them to do while they're there because everybody can take about a 10 or 15 minute break and just get some education. So we're hoping that with this opportunity in the future, employees will have that buy-in and that interest to come to a longer workshop, and that that you all as leaders and department heads will also have the understanding and encourage those employees to be able to have that hour that it may take for a workshop.
Thank you so much.
Y'all did amazing.
Thank you. And real quick, I just want to give y'all a timeline. So that's that next page of when to expect the renewals. So our board is actually meeting today to approve y'all's rates. And then we will be sending those out on May 23rd. So Judge, that'll come to you. And Dee Dee, that'll also come to you in a renewal packet via email. They are going to be due on June 27th. So it gives you about 5 weeks to get that on the court agenda and ask for any alternates if needed. The next two slides, or that next page, is gonna be some detailed reports that you can find there. I really like to point out the 5-year county history report because it gives you a full picture over the last 5 years of how you all have performed in the pool. Keep in mind that we have given back a surplus distribution in the years past. That is contingent on board approval, so it's not always guaranteed. But y'all have received close to $275,000 in the past. You'll see here your paid claims and contributions. And then you'll also find at the bottom the data that we're going to use to set your renewal rates there. So that's just a further breakout. We tried to wrap that up as quick as we could. Do y'all have any questions for us?
No, but we appreciate y'all being here.
Thank you. Thank y'all. We appreciate
it. Very nice. Sounds like we're in good shape.
Y'all are. Y'all are doing good. This is the news I like to bring to the county. So.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Anybody got anything on number 5? If not, I'm going to jump over to number 10. Item number 10, consideration, discussion, possible vote on application to revise subdivision plat to revise in part the subdivision plat in Waterwood, San Jacinto County by combining lots 3 and 4 in block 1 of Waterwood Augusta Estates as recorded in volume 7, page 3 of the plat records to be known as in the future as lot 3A.
Good morning.
Morning, sir.
I've given each one of y'all a copy of what will need to be signed. This is typical replat of two lots in Waterwood.
You have a proposed plat?
She's got yours. I'm sorry.
Usually you turn in some tax certificates and all that
sort
of stuff.
You can see on Exhibit A, there is the affidavit of publication where it was posted in the paper, the three dates that was required. Exhibit B is the tax certificate showing that there's no taxes.
Yeah, I see an affidavit, a publisher's affidavit, showing that you complied with the requirement to put it in the paper. Tax certificate shows taxes are paid.
And finally, Exhibit C
is the plat.
Is the plat.
Yeah, I just didn't have that.
Yeah.
It looks all in order to me. I make the motion to approve the plat.
I have a motion by Commissioner Natuno, a second by Commissioner Dominey. Any questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. It's unanimous, 5-0.
And so you got the Mylar plat that each would need to sign, and then that plat that's attached to the original.
Yep. I put tabs.
Well, you lay it down on something you can't see.
So y'all still do like half the fees on the second lot, Keith? Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's a discount on the second lot.
Discount on the second lot.
One of the fees.
Can you tell me how much the fees are, sir?
A lot.
$900 is the full price.
$900.
Item number 11, consideration, discussion, possible vote to accept the delinquent tax and fine fee collection report by Ms. Leslie of Purdue, Brandon, Fielder, Collins, and Mott.
Good morning. Thank you for having me this morning.
Yes, ma'am.
I have a delinquent tax collection report today. I'm Leslie Scotty with Purdue, Brandon. I have here with me Cooper, new associate attorney in my office. I think most of you had the opportunity to meet him at the DETCOG meeting that we held here back in March. Higher Worship in my office. And of course, Betty Davis from the tax office, your fearless tax assessor collector. So keep in mind as we go through the report that these are the delinquent taxes only through tax year 2023. Betty's office does a fantastic job collecting the currents. We work very closely with her office, and she collects about 95% and turns over the rest to us every July to collect. We'll get the 2024 taxes to collect in July of this year. They send out what's called a 3307 notice in May, and any taxes, that's for the current year, any taxes not paid by July 1 will incur a 20% collection penalty, and that fee is passed along to the taxpayer, and that is how we get paid. So our services are at no cost to the county, and we only get paid if we actually collect the taxes and after that fee has been.
Is it 20%, you said?
20%, correct. So what we have here is all the tax years delinquent, 2023 and prior. The first chart in your report is the account breakdown chart. So this gives us a bird's eye view of the entire delinquent roll and how it is categorized and what is readily collectible. So you'll notice the largest percentage is the action pending. That is predominantly 2023 delinquencies, which you'll see in my third pie chart. So we're still trying to reach out to the taxpayer, get in touch with them, let them know about the situation. Many of these.
I want to make a little point because we got something else on here that's tax related. So, and all these things you do in your collection, it's all guided by the tax code, correct?
Absolutely.
And the tax code is, you're in the 30s, 33, 34, in that area, but there's also in that area, section 352, that has to do with hotel tax. And we discussed this yesterday, and we have an application on here to basically to negotiate some tax liability of a taxpayer. And can you make it clear, is there any provision in the tax code that allows the county to waive taxes or waive penalties unless we do something wrong, like don't send you the bill in time or something? Generally speaking.
Generally speaking, yes. My area of expertise is the ad valorem taxes, but I have not located anything in the code to specify.
Well, if you locate one, I'd like to make such an application next year about my own taxes. Anyway, and I didn't mean to get you too. I wanted to make that point before I forgot to make it. So,
go. Listen, while he asks you to stop, you said 20%. The letter says 20%. Y'all don't get all that 20%, right?
The 20% is an add-on. We do.
You do? I thought y'all sent those out. Y'all send those letters out.
We do for some of our clients. We send out yours. Yes.
Yeah, okay.
We incur the cost of that movement.
So you do something for the 20%. Yes.
Yes, and that goes...
I just want to make that clear.
Absolutely. That goes to the taxpayers in May of every year, and that gives them due process and warns them that if they should be delinquent come July 1, this penalty will attach. It is a statutory penalty. And so once that letter's been mailed and their non-payment by July 1, it attaches, it becomes part of the tax lien on their property.
Sorry.
Yes, absolutely, no problem. So action pending is the largest section. Many of these taxpayers we have got in touch with. Some are making partial payments. We're monitoring those partial payments. Some we haven't gotten contact with, and we're researching the title. We're seeing if there's a lien holder on the property. We're seeing if the taxpayer is deceased, if there's a probate filing, if there's an obituary, some way for us to find out who is the owner, who are the heirs, is there a lien holder, so we can contact everyone before we resort to filing a delinquent tax suit. Sometimes communication breaks down. Sometimes there's nobody to find and talk to, so it's necessary for us to move on to the suit filing process. That brings me to that section at 33%, the litigation section. It is everything from suit just filed yesterday to ready for the next tax sale. So it encompasses everything in that entire process. Next largest section is deferral at 19%. These are your taxpayers who are 65 or older or have a disability, and they have elected to defer payment of their taxes on their residence homestead. And that is only available, they can only homestead one property at a time. They have to get that distinction on the property with the county appraisal
deferral
district.
Deferral is only for homesteads.
That is correct.
Okay. Yeah.
There are a different rule for 100% disabled veterans. They are able to do some different things, but that's a whole different. So for here to over 65s and the disability deferments, they apply for that. They have to get the exemption with the appraisal district, and then they file a deferment affidavit with the appraisal district. Once that's complete, I can no longer actively pursue collections. That taxpayer may elect to pay on their own at any time, and taxes are settled up when that property ceases to be their homestead. Typically, property sold, title company is gonna pay those taxes. Taxpayer passes away, their heirs pay those taxes, etc. So moving on to the dollar range chart, just another way we collect the accounts. Our system takes the software, takes Betty's data that she sends to us monthly, and it puts taxpayers together that own several parcels. So if a taxpayer has several delinquent parcels, our system's going to put those all together. So when my callers are making their calls and sending their letters, or we're looking at filing litigation, we are seeing all the accounts a particular taxpayer may have that are delinquent. So when we call, we can talk about all the accounts at one time. When we file suit, we can cover all the accounts at one time. So just another way that we work to collect the dollars. So this is more or less just a tool for my office. Next, I have the tax year chart. You'll see the largest percentage is the 2023 delinquencies at 27%. After that year, the tax percentages get smaller and smaller. 16 and prior, those older tax years are going to be due to properties that have, many of them are due to properties that have had that tax deferral for many years. Some of the older years could also be due to title issues, and I have several on my list that we're working through with the appraisal district trying to resolve. Is the property double assessed? Can I pursue collections? That type of thing. And we work on those accounts year round and work with the appraisal district. The appraisal district's been very receptive to us and to research we've shown them and maps we've provided for them and taking care of these accounts. Then I have historical data from 2020 to 2023, and I'll just highlight that on the 2020 tax year, we're at almost 79% collected of what was initially turned over to us for that tax year. And I'm going to skip to 23, where we are getting close to 47% of what was turned over to us last July. We are having tax dockets here at district court, generally monthly, and then doing three tax sales a year. Our last one was March of this year, and we're looking to have another one on September 2nd. So we're typically doing three per year.
I remember when things would sell at the tax sale, I've seen people buy lots for $50. Now I'm seeing people pay $10,000 over what they have it valued at, or more than that. The market's very hot.
Land is a hot commodity right now. People are being very competitive in their bidding. We've definitely gotten people's attention with these tax sales. Our last tax sale in March, we had a tax resale at the same time. I'm sure many of you remember approving doing a tax resale so that we could get those properties out of the tax trust. We were fairly successful in getting some of those back on the tax roll. If you're interested in following tax sales, our website is a good resource, pbfcm.com. It's on the front page of your report. And then I'll shift gears slightly to the fine and fee collection report for JPs 1 through 4. I have a pie chart down at the bottom that gives you all four courts, so it really just kind of gives you a snapshot of what overall has been resolved in payments, around 28%. The courts have closed around 40% of what was turned over to us for all JP courts, leaving outstanding 32%. So our goal in reaching out to the violators, and this works in many ways a lot like the delinquent tax collections, when these accounts are turned over to us by law, there's a 30% add-on fee that goes on to the violation, and that is how we get paid. That 30% fee is simply by collecting the accounts. But our goal is to drive the individual to the JP court to resolve it. So you'll see the court dismisses quite a few of these. So that's our job, get them to the court, get it resolved. And then just for a visual aid, I have three maps after the pie chart that just shows you the top 10 accounts, and these are for just JP3. We kind of swap around every time we come. This is the top accounts by zip code. And then I have the top 10 bad address accounts.
These are individuals who owe lots of
fines? These are individuals. By zip code is individuals in a zip code. So that 793 on the top by zip code is three at that's adds up to that 793 in that particular zip code. And then I have a nationwide map that shows where everyone has moved about as they've come through your county, gotten a ticket or some kind of violation, and where they've gone. So we have someone over in Oregon, someone up in Wisconsin. So I just find this one a fascinating visual aid to see who's come through and where they've gone and where we've tracked them to.
I see one up in New York. You know, the Astros are playing the Yankees in September. You want to send me the paperwork?
You want to give you a notice?
I'll go up there and try to collect it.
You can tender it to them?
That's pretty neat, though. Yeah.
It is. I find that a really fun visual aid, so you can see where we found tracked people. Whether we get them to pay or not, it's another question, but
right.
At least get their attention. Are there any questions?
No, this is very informative, I tell you. Y'all been doing a bang-up job, as usual.
Thank you, Judge. Appreciate it. And as always, many of you know how to contact me if you ever have any questions or need anything. Happy to help.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. My pleasure. Y'all have a great
one. Item number 12, consideration, discussion, possible vote to approve road and bridge refund. That's a $11.50 refund. Teresa Wimpery used to be my secretary.
I'll make that motion.
I have a motion by Commissioner Natuno.
I'll second, I'm sorry.
Second by Commissioner Mars. Any questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. It's unanimous, 5-0. You have an original, or you want me to just sign this?
That is.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the original.
I guess we just signed it on this page here, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow I feel like more than $11.50 worth of effort went into generating all that paperwork. 67? Item number 13, consideration, discussion, and possible vote to approve the payment adjustment for delinquent hotel taxes on property of Joshua Moore. Is anybody here on that? When this was first brought up, it sounded like an okay idea. Collecting hotel taxes is, thanks to Ms. Dee Dee and her staff, is a kind of a new thing that's been quite rewarding. Whatever money that's collected there has to go into economic development and things of that nature, and she's got some terrific ideas on how we might utilize some of that fund. But this particular person had approached the county about, I don't want to quote numbers, but just say he wanted to offer like 70% of whatever he owes. In other words, knock off some of the fees and expenses. And statutorily, I've enlisted the help of the tax lawyer. I've talked to the DA. I've read chapter 352 that pertains to local taxation, hotel occupancy taxes. There's no provision in the code that allows us to waive expenses, unless it's a case where the person can prove, well, we didn't send you your tax bill, then yeah, we can't very well charge you penalties and interest if you didn't get the bill. But so I don't know if any action is necessary. Action would be necessary if we were going to accept the proposed offer. And much as I'd like to have 70% of whatever that amount is, I don't think we can, until we find out that we can legally do that, I don't think it's a good idea.
Everything I've looked at, nothing shows that we can.
We're going to be doing it for everybody. Well, that's true. That's true. I mean, if we let Donnie slide by, then we got to let Crystal slide by. And we just
let them slide by.
And then we're going to, yeah, and then we're going to let Miss Carissa slide by. And the next thing you know, so it may be a good thing. It's just there's no statutory authority. And if anybody comes up with some, I'd certainly be willing to listen. But so I don't think there's any need for any action on this at this time. Item number 14, consideration, discussion, and possible vote to approve supplemental benefits package options and appoint Higginbotham Public Sector as agent of record.
Yes, Judge, previously we've used NFC, which is National Family Care Act, for our cafeteria plan.
Are you talking about Rooster?
Yes.
Are we kicking Rooster to the curb?
Rooster's a really good guy. But he's the sales guy.
I get it.
The people behind the scenes, for years we have had, between the auditor's office and the treasurer's office, we've had a very, very hard time being able to get the bills right. We, 9 times out of 10, are doing their job for them, and it's just been a struggle and a burden on our office, and we would like to try to move over to Higginbotham and try out their service and hopefully get something better.
This fella here with Higginbotham?
He is.
He's been with TAC for the last 20-something years,
yeah.
it seems well, like.
2-7, not quite 10, but
how long?
Close. 7 years I was with TAC.
Just
just
it seems like a lot longer.
From what Chris's report was, those 7 years that were your best years, I think.
Must have been.
But yeah, so I have some handouts for you guys here so you guys can see what we're talking about. So you guys know me. I'm Orlando Spinoza. I was with TAC for 7 years as your consultant. I moved over to Higginbotham Public Sector back in January. So I have Peggy Haynes with me here. The reason why I brought her is because she not only is also a producer at Higginbotham Public Sector, however, she also was a client of Higginbotham Public Sector. So she kind of answers some questions about the client experience of what you guys can expect from us if you guys were to choose to work with us. The main thing that we wanted to bring to you today was our voluntary benefits. So this little brochure here, this is called our governmental benefits co-op. The really cool thing about this is, you know, you are with TAC already, and TAC does a pooled benefit. So this is very similar to that. What it is, these are rates that are already set for those voluntary benefits for your employees. We use the same approach. So we use a number of groups that come together. We take those.
Is it like supplemental policies or things of that nature?
So like your accident plans, your cancer, hospital, critical illness. There's MASA is in there as well. Short-term disability, long-term disability. All those benefits that you can offer to your employees, but the county doesn't pay for, that come out of your employees' pockets. Our goal is to build these to be lower cost and better benefits than what you're offering now, as we know that they do come out of your employees' pockets. And so we want to make sure that we're saving them money as well, not just the county, but the benefits that you
offer. Is there any cost to the county?
What was that?
Is there any cost to the county?
So we receive commission, and our commissions are already built into these rates.
Is there any cost to the county?
Nope.
It's all the individual.
Nope, this is all individual, so it's all plans that are...
I wanted to make sure the public certainly wants to know as well. That's where you always... I'd start my presentation... with there's no cost to the county.
is it a contract we sign?
Yeah, so you would sign an interlocal agreement with the co-op to be able to join the co-op. And then from there, you get access to everything that comes in the co-op, which is all of these benefits that are in this this brochure. But then on top of that, the services that we provide to you guys as a added benefit is one, we help out with your open enrollment. So we'll come out, we'll help enroll employees, explain the benefits to them, help them understand what's going on. So that way they can be more informed on what they're actually electing. And then other thing is gonna be, we also help out with the billing. So what we do is we collect all of those bills from all those carriers. We send you one invoice that has all of those different companies on it. You send us one payment, and then we distribute that money to the carriers instead of the county having to cut checks to each individual company. Kind of, and we also help out with the reconciliation of those invoices as well. And I'll let Penny kind of talk about it because she dealt with it on the client side.
Yeah,
okay.
So coming from a school district and being over all of operations and having benefits for employees just like this voluntary, it was very difficult for my staff to balance 14 different invoices and sit there and check off what was in our payroll system versus what a paper bill said. Well, when we switched over to the public sector, that all went away because everything is housed in one electronic system called the hub. It's a benefits hub. That's where all of your employees enroll. That's where your staff terminates employees or adds new employees. So
let me stop you for a second.
Yes,
so it requires a contract. Are we under contract with somebody else to do this same thing at this time? No?
We do it year to year, and we have not done that with NFC.
Okay.
So the period would be enrollment like 10-1 to the next year? Is that correct? Is that what I understand?
Yeah, year to year.
So this contract here would be starting 10-1?
Correct.
Till the following year? So you're not signing up today. It would be.
So we would come in during your open enrollment period, and we would sign people up. Those benefits wouldn't be effective until October 1st.
Yeah. Okay.
Which lines up with your medical and all the other stuff.
And you think it's a good move for the county to switch over to this group?
I think that it would save us a lot of time and headache
Well, it's your headache and stuff, and if you think it's...
Yes,
well,
I think it's working.
I'm not getting headaches over it, but...
I think it's working.
Sorry.
Well, I'll make a motion to move to...
Forward.
Higginbotham, is that right?
Higginbotham.
I mean, I'm not. We don't want to cut your take the wind out, but
hey.
We kind of know what you're doing. You don't have to, because we've all been here.
Well, I second.
Yeah, I got a motion by Commissioner Natuno, a second by Commissioner Dominick. Any other questions? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Eyes have it, it's unanimous, 5-0.
Thank you.
Good to see you.
Good to see you as well.
Sign it to the time.
Is there?
It's in there.
Second page.
Where is? Oh. Sandy Seneca. And the term is October 1st, is that right? I don't really like to sign nothing but a bunch of blanks. Give this to you?
Sure.
Item number 15, the most important thing on the agenda, consideration, discussion, possible vote to approve Precinct 3 to purchase a Kubota M7060 four-wheel drive cab tractor with front-end loader, Land Pride single-wing 10-foot cutter on the buy board, $75,517.30. How much is the cutter worth?
15.
It's offset rated, so it's 20.
$29,300. Oh, that was 20 years ago. We bought something new. I don't know if you bought something
15.
New.
No wonder I
can't. No, I got a pickup. Tractor.
It's definitely on the Bible.
Oh,
yeah,
and that Bobcat. Yeah, the Bobcat.
I know some of you guys prefer green paint, but Kubotas are.
It's her deal.
Yeah, it's her deal. And
I'll make a motion.
They're top notch.
If it's on the Bible board, I'll make the motion.
I second it.
I have a motion by Commissioner Mars, a second by Commissioner Sweeney. I think there was just about a tie. Any questions? You got the money in the budget. Right?
Yes.
I do. Pardon me. Caroline had sitting
there. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. It's unanimous 5-0.
I'm so excited.
Did you ever see how much more? How much did the mower only cost?
29.
Huh?
Ooh, the mower only?
It's comparable on the John Deere also.
29.
I bought in 2000. And
is that what you said?
Four. I bought a 10, 15 foot
Batwing.
It was 10,000. That's 20 years ago.
Yeah.
So Well, that stuff ain't cheap.
29, and it's comparable on the John Deere. I've got a price on it. It was 26 on the John Deere.
That means the tractor's only about 50. You made a good deal on that tractor.
The John Deere 26.
Them tractors we bought were, well, that's a good price. Number 16, consideration, discussion, and possible vote to approve replat on Clinton Wilson and Curtis Wilson property, because their property is in the roadway and they are being taxed on that property. So basically, they want to get rid of, they want the county to have.
They want to donate it to the county. If you could drop some kind of deed, would they take it? Sure. The appraisal district. It's been a county road. I know a woman who's 90 years old, was born and raised on it.
Shepherd Tram? Yeah, that road's been there.
Daryl Richardson's mom was almost 90. She lived there her whole life.
Yeah.
So I know how it's been there.
So you're speaking, your son also, you're speaking for your son?
Yes, his son. They're speaking for him and his son.
And you're okay with the 60-foot right-of-way to be taken off there?
Yes.
Anytime the county, anybody wants to give something to the county, we have to vote to approve it. And as soon as we get a motion and a second and a vote.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
I'm sorry.
And they just moved to our county, so I appreciate y'all.
I have a motion by Commissioner Mars, a second by Commissioner Domney to, they want to deed their portion of the property that lies within Shepherd, the tram road. All in favor say aye.
Aye. It's also called, part of it's called industrial too, it's the same.
Yeah. The ayes have it, it's unanimous, 5-0.
And you, Judge, you volunteered, right?
Yes.
I've put a deed form on, and I've drawn them up in the past. I'll be glad to draw up the deed.
Thank you, Judge.
Welcome to San Jacinto County.
Okay.
Thank you.
And is it 60 foot or 49 foot? Part of the plat said 49 foot, but it was real tiny riding.
Yes, what they were doing when they did the survey on that is they just drew distances to the road off of the property line.
Oh, okay.
Some came to a ditch, some came to a fence.
Yes, sir. Okay. 60 foot. We'll get right on that.
Thank y'all, Mr. Wilson.
Thank y'all. And is it both Curtis and what's your name, sir?
Clinton.
You're Clinton?
Yes.
All right.
They moved from New Caney here.
Do you have a phone number or something?
Yeah.
You got the, okay. Well, I'll just get it to you and you take care of it. Okay. All right, here's the next most important thing on the agenda. Number 17, consideration, discussion, possible vote to approve the sale of Land Pride Rotary Tiller awarded to San Jacinto County Sheriff's Office. In other words, you want to, it works, and you want to declare it surplus, correct?
It does not work. It was awarded to us by the court, and if you buy it, you have to actually put a part on it to make it work.
Okay,
so
well.
Real quick, you're going to sell it on the lay bags? Is that what we're going to do?
Yeah,
I'll make that motion.
I have a motion.
Second.
By Commissioner Natuno, a second by Commissioner Mars to declare surplus and sell on Renee Bates. Any other comments or questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. It's unanimous, 5-0. Item number 18, consideration, discussion, possible vote to approve the Genesis E-Bonds Licensing and Servicing Provider Agreement with San Jacinto County and Gencor Candio Limited DBA, the Genesis Group.
Judge, you looked at this?
A little bit. I've talked to some of the bonding companies, and they're saying they're all for it.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second. I did read all of it.
I have a motion by Commissioner Mars, a second by Commissioner Domini. Like I say, they said it would make most everybody that's dealing with bonds life easier. bonds will be easier to track. I have court in
my phone system
over here, and especially if they get arrested somewhere else
can't
or whatever.
Guy
don't show up. I'm trying to forfeit his bond. Well, how do we even know he's got a bond? Because it never had made it to the file. This should make that problem. That's just
getting
one thing.
Sir.
Yeah, that's good. So did I ask to vote?
Yes.
Did we
motion
vote?
And second.
We did
I
not
made
vote
a motion.
Yet.
All in favor say aye. Aye. Ayes have it. Unanimous. Okay, good. Good.
There you go.
All right.
There is something to sign.
There's something to sign.
Yes, sir.
Get to the appropriate.
Page 6 of 7.
Yeah, the local bond company said that it's not going to cause them any headaches.
We had a meeting with everybody, had everybody on board.
Good, good, good.
And then there's initials on all these.
We're talking about the porta potty.
Yeah.
We're going to have that done.
I don't care which one of y'all take care of it. I just need the porta potty.
I got the trailer, got new tires on it. If it ain't, we'll put them on it.
I have more tires.
We all have trailers.
I know. I'm just
I got that one. I think we just put new tires on it last time.
I'm working on it too, my
Yeah.
I just need one.
I got what we'll get you. We'll get you one.
Pages have initials,
and we'll get you plenty of bags and gloves.
Safety
vest. Safety vest, oh yeah.
I got those whole box.
General fund don't mind buying none of that. That's sanitation.
He didn't hear you because he's thinking about
getting shrimp and that prime rib.
You didn't hear that, general fund, did you?
I'm thinking about that.
No, I didn't.
And then page 3.
I'm thinking about that.
Right? Pretty good idea, looking.
Did I miss page 3?
Good. We are
yeah, right there.
I got them up.
Right here.
We have 2 valves. They got them repaired.
I got 2.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
No, that's good.
We received our citation from the jail commission, giving us a passing grade for our jail.
What was they doing over the other day over to that sewer or something? I seen them over or some company. I don't know what they're doing.
Right.
I don't know. I just
thank you.
Okay. I seen somebody over there. I didn't know what they were just doing.
Item number 19, consideration, discussion, possible vote to approve the Trident Care Portable Services Agreement between Symphony Diagnostic Number 1, LLC, DBA, Trident Care, and Sandy Center County Jail. Now, is this something new or something in addition?
No, sir, we've had that before. It's just we're getting the contract signed properly. It's just updated. So
okay.
It's one of those.
Yes, sir. That's our health care provider for the inmate medical.
Yeah, they come out to the jail. They actually have a machine. They can x-ray.
I've seen that number for me that they can report it.
Where's the
porta potty?
Oh, yeah.
She's
at conference.
Oh. This is something they're already a vendor of ours already.
Yes,
we're just getting the paperwork right? Is that what
you're saying?
Yes.
Is there money in inmate medical?
I didn't bring
the contract?
This ought to save money if they're coming out there instead of having to haul them to the hospital to do EKGs or whatever else they do. X-rays too, huh?
Saves the cops trips.
Yeah, it says X-ray, ultrasound, and EKGs.
Saves us trips.
Oh, yeah. So we've been dealing with them. He's getting the contract. You're going to actually have the contract approved by the court.
Correct.
Is that what you're saying? Okay.
Look at the money in inmate service, inmate medical.
Well, I'm just curious what it's been paid from.
For what?
The accountant comes out at 12:00.
Okay, you realize that is we only pay them if we call them out. That's all. It's not like we have to pay them
monthly.
No.
If you do call them, it's on demand.
Only on demand.
You call them and it's an outside inmate, you're charging that can, right?
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
And they have been very good about coming and getting them and taking them to the doctor.
Now, when I say charge that county, do we pay that bill and they reimburse us?
Yes.
I'll be honest, we haven't had it happen yet.
It will happen.
Yeah, it will. And my thoughts are we just forward the bill over to the responsible county and let them deal with it.
You're going to make a motion to go ahead and approve the Trident Care Portable Service Agreement?
Sure. Is that a motion?
That's a motion.
I have a motion by Commissioner Sweeney.
I'll second it.
Second by Commissioner Dominey.
Well, Scott, but I don't know why they changed this up.
I don't know. I couldn't find anything.
I know.
Any other questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Ayes have it, it's unanimous, 5-0.
So we started
that. I have copies, but I'm trying to put everything in your hands. So.
Yeah, Tracy will get copies of everything. I'll make sure.
Item number 20, consideration, discussion, possible vote to approve the agency agreement for the Texas Savings Enhancement Program contract number 5205 SYZ Sanderson County Sheriff's Office. We have an agreement with Sevens already, huh?
It's renewed.
Is this a renewal?
Yes.
Is this something different?
No, they're changing providers. The state did, so we have to have a contract with the new provider.
Yeah, because I signed something.
Yes.
They sent me something DocuSign about three different times, and I think I signed that just the other day.
They just changed provider, so we have to get a new contract for the soap provider.
Statewide automated victim notification service, that's what that is. It's supposed to be able to notify a victim of an assault that, hey,
yeah,
old boy,
if a victim of family violence comes to jail,
old boy is fixing to get out of jail, so they.
And it's no cost to us. They send it to us.
It's no cost to us, no. Sir.
Other than our IT guy makes sure it's up.
Other than what?
Our IT guy makes sure it's hooked up.
It's an OAG
grant.
Yes.
It's a reimbursement.
Yeah. How is that going on IT?
Actually, it's going
one. That's what I was going to ask you.
Yeah, this is the thing you DocuSigned.
It's
the same thing.
I
printed it out.
This is something. It's Savins, but it's something different.
Oh, is it?
But he is doing a good job, though.
Yes.
Does it have a contract number on there?
Because it looks the same to me.
The providers don't make a difference, right?
52.
Yeah, every state or every county in the state is going through, I guess.
52025 SYZ.
Second.
I have a motion by Commissioner Sweeney, a second by Commissioner Natuno. Any questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. It's unanimous, 5-0. Now,
it is the same.
Okay.
Well, you gonna cross out the sheriff's name and put yours on there to sign?
I've already signed it. Appreciate y'all bailing me out there. I signed it DocuSign. They've been sending it for a month, and I just did this yesterday.
Yeah, right here.
But nobody tells us.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, I didn't know how. I was trying to print it, and you just keep clicking, and you know, it puts a signature that's not really my signature, but it's a signature, and I did click on it.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you. If we need this other signed as well, we can, but I'm
glad the sheriff's name on it.
If you signed it and sent it to the state, we
should
be
good. I mean, I did, because then I sent it to everybody, letting them know what I'd done.
That way, if they call us, I have it.
Cool. Thank you, sir. I I believe that takes care of
that. Is not taken care of, because another thing got apparently missed off your agenda, I noticed. I sent this to y'all. That is from Liberty County. That is the contract that everybody agreed to. That is there. That is for y'all's signature there. But I sent that on Thursday.
We're operating under the contract that was signed in 22.
Correct.
And it's never been revoked or anything, but the new people wanted an update.
They signed it.
And the previous contract's got the sheriff paper signature on it, so.
It's still a contract. I mean, it doesn't matter who signed it.
Well, we appreciate it.
And to argue otherwise means we're not doing what we ought to be doing.
Yes. My understanding has to have your name.
So basically, we're just not changing it.
All right.
What you going to do with the
passage? Well, no. I'm going to tell my reason why. All right, you just got this?
No, I mailed that to y'all. When you called, Sam, I was told Wednesday.
It ain't on there. I don't know why she would picked it out of the pile and took it out.
No.
But
Wednesday she called me and told me no more stuff after me.
Yeah, because I was in school last week. And if it came in after I left for school, I couldn't sign the agenda.
And then you called Sam and said, hey, make sure you have everything in by noon on Thursday.
I did.
So Sam told me, do you have anything else? Make sure you send it. So I sent it.
So you sent it after the agenda was already
met. So you're here to throw me under the bus, right?
No, sir. I just don't want to be thrown under the bus.
We'll tend to it, but we may have to put it on the next agenda.
That's fine, as long
if
as
the DA says it's okay to sign it, because it's just a renewal, but we're all good. So I may, in an abundance of caution, put it on the next agenda.
I just want to make sure.
You got a sticky?
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Nothing for long, sir. I will tell you this, it's operating well. We've put several felonies in jail. We've made several arrests already. They're working. Now, we did have a little trying to still find our internet box that became missing. It was delivered.
Item number 21.
Who was it delivered to?
That building.
Consideration, discussion, possible vote to review and approve good neighbor authority agreement with Texas A&M and USDA United States Forest Service.
Morning.
I thought this was important there, Judge, not those other ones.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey, I'm trying to give you money.
I'd like to get money in.
All right.
Hey, Judge and Commissioners, thank you for the invitation to come to Commissioners Court today to discuss the good neighbor authority that the Texas A&M Forest Service and the USDA Forest Service have been working on together. My name is Jordan Heron. I'm the Regional Operations Chief for the Texas A&M Forest Service serving Deep East Texas. I support 7 districts and our field operations personnel roughly from Nacogdoches down to Beaumont. Our mission at the Texas A&M Forest Service for the last 110 years has been to assist private forest landowners keep Texas forests healthy and productive, suppress wildfires, and respond to other disasters. The Good Neighbor Authority was first authorized by Congress, U.S. Congress, in the 2014 Farm Bill, allowing the USDA Forest Service to enter in agreements with state forestry agencies, like the one I work for, to implement important forest management work on the national forests. In Texas, the Texas A&M Forest Service and the U.S. Forest Service have had a GNA agreement in place since 2019. The Texas A&M Forest Service has completed 3 timber sales under this authority. With the funds that I receive from the timber sales, I am required to perform stewardship work on the national forests of Texas. When we began the agreement with the U.S. Forest Service, we highlighted that we wanted counties, like San Jacinto County, be partners in this and look for ways to get funds to the counties. The best ways we identified to accomplish this was to reimburse counties for materials that y'all are already using on roads that you have in your agreement with the U.S. Forest Service. The funds that we have to distribute for you came from a timber sale that we just completed in Walker County on the Sam Houston National Forest. And what we've done is basically taken the proceeds from that timber sale, split it in half, half going to San Jacinto County, half going to Walker County. Montgomery County does not have a road use agreement with the U.S. Forest Service.
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
Montgomery County, so basically if we do a timber sale under this G&A agreement, we take the fund, we approach each of the counties that have some land base of that national forest in them. So we just did one on the Sam Houston National Forest, and that's Walker County, San Jacinto County, Montgomery County.
Right.
Montgomery County doesn't have a road use agreement with the U.S. Forest Service and aren't interested in doing one. So it basically, instead of taking the proceeds, splitting it into thirds, we're splitting it into half.
I'm pretty sure we have one.
You do have one. Yes, sir. So what I can do is I can reimburse for materials that have been applied to roads that you have in your road use agreement with the U.S. Forest Service. So we can go back, start July 25th, 2023. That's when we entered into our agreement with the U.S. Forest Service. All the way to June 27th, 2028. That's when our agreement ends. But I have $106,000 that I can up to give to you.
106?
106, yes. And so we don't have to enter into a formal agreement or anything. That's between me and the U.S. Forest Service. Basically, all I need you to do is invoice me for those materials that have been applied to roads in your road use agreement. Once you invoice me, my staff will come out and say, yep, rock was, you know, put down. Looks like it was put down a year ago, just like they said. Then we send it to our business office for processing. I gave a packet, I don't know if it's been distributed, but the first G&A work we did was on the Sabine National Forest. We partnered with Sabine and Shelby counties. When we did those, each of those counties operated a little bit differently. One ran this whole process through the county treasurer, one ran it through the county judge's office. Whatever works for y'all, I'm here to work with you on. You know, the Good Neighbor Authority has been beneficial to all parties. The U.S. Forest Service gets timber harvested off the National Forest. Hopefully, we're giving y'all some additional funds, and then we're happy to see forests healthy for the state of Texas. That's it, high level, but definitely want to answer any questions that you got.
You said that it has to be spent by 2028, so...
So our agreement with the U.S. Forest Service. So basically how this works
is... You keep saying agreement. Is there a proposed agreement?
No, not with y'all. Y'all just have to send me an invoice. I have an agreement with the federal government. So our agency...
There's not a written agreement we need to approve today?
Nope.
Crystal.
Yeah.
How much you got over there, U.S. Forest?
So I'm trying to figure out...
I know.
Can we borrow money today and
Forest?
Invoice you?
Part of that's U.S. Forest.
So, say that one more time.
Huh? Can we... Tomorrow, can I send some material?
I know, but you, Oak Forest is.
I
crossed
the
old store.
It has to be applied before you can invoice.
It is.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Go ahead, do it, send the money, and then send you invoice.
Yep.
I don't know how they're going to go back.
But I know that Oak Forest is.
So that's it. So some county, it depends on what the record system is for your county. So you can either retroactively do it from the beginning of our date. So we have to sell the timber before I can tell you, you know, and I have to close out our timber sale before I can come to the county.
We don't have to. We don't have to take any action today.
Nope. So basically,
you just
say,
tell us about it and let us know and educate us. That's good.
Yeah, I have $106,000 to give you.
Can you?
Awesome.
Can you?
My invoice is coming your way.
Yeah.
Young man, before you leave, can you talk to that lady sitting right over there? Because she'd be the ones doing
for
Mark and imagine.
Yeah, really, the hard part is y'all
I don't have no U.S. Forest.
He's got a little bit up there. No,
she's got a lot.
I got two roads.
I got a
Red Road.
Where at? Red Roads National Forest.
I'll have to check on and see.
Well, it's all National Forest. They're not.
I'll give you a little background. So the Texas A&M Forest Service and the National Forest were different entities. We're the state forestry agency. We're part of the Texas A&M University.
Y'all don't own any forest, and it's
not
all owned by the
county.
Not in this county.
Nope. So we, it gets confusing. We're similar names. We wear the exact same uniforms.
You used to own some, and we bought it from you with that Forest Service facility on.
We used to have an office here.
About 20 years
ago.
So how is this different with National Forest or Title III money? How is the federal government cutting that, and then here you're selling timber
and we're not getting any portion of that National Forest receipt.
So, yeah, that's a lot of why we're trying to use this money back to the
well,
counties.
We appreciate
and,
that.
And Securing Rural Schools Act when this was first, you know.
So we don't have to share any of this with the school district.
No, we wanted to find a way to give money to the school districts, but we weren't able to do that under the G&A authority, the Good Neighbor authority.
The Forest Service is going to do the same thing with the bin and the timber. Do you happen to know if the National Forest is going to do the same thing?
So this is National Forest Service timber. So what happens is we sell it on behalf of the National Forest, and then we have to do stewardship work with that money on the forest. And so instead of us going and doing the work, we're approaching each of the counties and saying stewardship work is road work in those, and that's why we can use the roads that are in your road use agreement. So if you're putting new rock down on those roads, we can reimburse for that.
But it all benefits the school districts anyways. They all travel down our road.
It does. But just it can't be as clean as like Securing Rural Schools Act was and the fluctuations in funds
the back
there.
Four ways.
Yeah. So it has to be spent on the roads.
Right. Yeah. Material on the roads.
Man, you could look. Me and Luke could use $5 million on Red Road.
Any Forest Service road in that road use agreement.
Quite a bit.
Oh, in the agreement.
Yes, sir. In that road use agreement that y'all have with the U.S.
Forest. We don't actually have to approve an agreement, but if y'all have an idea about how you want it to
we'll fine.
Be
we'll
done.
Work on it.
Okay. All right. Thank you so
Thank
much.
Thank you, young man.
Yeah. Appreciate
you.
Item number 22, consideration, discussion, possible vote to support I-69 upgrade funding request. I got a letter from the city of Shepherd. Congressman Morgan Luttrell is fighting hard for us up there in Washington and they're trying to, he's pushing for some funding to improve Highway 59 to 69 along down through Shepherd and around, including replacement of the Trinity River Bridge. And I think what they were looking for is a letter. It's supporting his request to raise funding.
Judge, after me and you talked, I did some research on this. I even called the city of Shepherd and asked a couple questions about this, which very little of this is affected by the city of Shepherd, probably a couple hundred feet at the most. And I asked them why, and some of my questions are, why would we knock about 20 people out of work and a bunch of people that pay taxes through there? And I understand a lot of the input on it. They say the wrecks and stuff, well, you know, are the different things. I just don't see knocking people out of work or taking stuff off tax rolls because I see what they did to the city of Shepherd. They charged the city of Shepherd $2 million to move their sewer lines and water lines, and the city of Shepherd has been paying a note on it for 20 years.
Yeah.
That the state wanted to move the road, but they made the city pay for all the utility.
Are you talking about having to buy out businesses that are up there near the bridge?
The Jack in the Box is gone. All them little businesses up through there are gone. Mr. Pilkington's place gone. Huh. The people on that tire shop's gone. I mean, and I understand about, but I see what they did to the city of Shepherd when they built that bypass. They killed it. They didn't even put an exit. They didn't even put an exit for people to get off there at 3460. And if you got off at 3460 right there, all that from Beverly Drive all the way down to where, right past Beverly Drive, you couldn't even have a culvert in there. There was no access off a feeder road to put a, you can't even put a culvert. You can't even have a driveway in there for businesses.
Yeah.
So who's on the steering committee for I-69 for San Jose County?
Last person I put on it was you when you first got on the
And court. I didn't get to go to the last meeting. I went to the first meeting. I think it was me and David. We went to the first meeting, but the second meeting they had, I couldn't make it. I was in the hospital. There was no physical way I could make it. And that's the second one they had. And I drifted a bunch of these crossovers and stuff. And the exits and the on-ramps, they told me in the first meeting I went to that they was going to come out of Lake Pool Road which is on the feeder over there, where DP Ward's, the old barbecue stand was, and it's going to come up 59 and do an overpass right there. And I asked the people in there, I said, why would you do that? Why wouldn't you just make it two-way traffic the way it is now? Well, there's no two-way traffic on the feeder. And I said, well, what are you doing that floods right there at Big Creek? Well, that doesn't flood. Every engineer in there, every one of their people in there, told me and David Brandon that did not flood.
You've waded water in it about 6 feet.
I said, Mister, we had a man just drowned there a couple of years ago in a vehicle in there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a lot of issues. So y'all do whatever, but I don't support it. To make it short and sweet, I don't support it.
Well, it's your precinct. I mean, I would like to believe that that TxDOT has the bigger picture in the future, blah, blah,
blah.
Well, they're probably going to do it regardless.
They're going to do it regardless of what we say, but as far as me personally, I don't support it.
Well, it's on the agenda. If it dies for lack of a motion, so be it. Does anybody here want to make a motion? If not, we'll pass, move on to something else. No action.
Here comes a big one. Oh, we got next.
Item number 23, consideration, discussion, possible vote to approve office space for DPS weight officer and additional troopers. Move Tatum liaison officer to Innovative Center or other appropriate location. Now, you got handed this albatross, I guess, but
I think you made a mistake on the agenda. I think the way it reads is that you want to move the license and weight officer over there and Chris.
No, not him.
No, I'm just.
I talked to a DPS sergeant and
he's standing here. Come on up, Sarge.
Here.
In their office, and one of the things is that the liaison officer is in a spot that they could use for office. So we talked about.
Are you going to get some more troops assigned, and you need some more office space out there? Because
right now I'm in the process of possibly getting an overage, which would push me to 8, and we've requested another because of the construction on.
You run out of room.
So I don't have the room in the main office for all those troops, and up until this last week, I was intending to move a desk for the CMD troop out of Polk County because he was wanting to kind of office out of here part of the time.
That's changed over the last week, I guess.
Yes, it has. So if I get up to 9 people, I don't have space for 9 people in my office. So that was originally an extension where there was 3 troopers in that office also. When I offered that to TDM when he got here, it was, for me, it was intended as a short-term deal because that space I can use it. I've got a lot of equipment that I need to store also. I didn't really want to get kind of drug into this, but he, with the job he does, he needs to be up here with Jeff and the emergency management people because he doesn't do anything out there without having to drive back up here and interact with these guys. So he's the direct liaison for TDM. At the end of these natural disasters, assisting them with
how soon are you likely to need some extra space?
We have a school starting that's a short school. As soon as within the next couple of weeks, I'll find out if I got that overage. And if I did, before he gets here, I'm going to have to figure something out. So
I make a motion to move Chris with Tatum to the Innovation Center.
I was going to suggest that if we got a few weeks that we
table.
We just acquired a new piece of property that a little bit of work might put him in office right there. There's lots of things going on with over here.
Whatever y'all decide to do, that's fine. He's not here, and it's not any of my business as far as that's concerned. But
there used to be space across the parking lot over there, didn't there? Commissioner?
That's I don't know if y'all been been over there, but
we've been over there, but
that's not the most
desirable.
Yeah, that would take a lot of money to get it up. You can smell that dog pound through that wall.
Yes, you can.
it's just not sealed up for winter or summer. That winter unit in there was built before I was born. And even if it was replaced, I don't know that it had the capacity.
You sure are lobbying hard to get him up here somewhere.
They didn't have electricity back then when he was born, did it?
Probably not.
Yeah.
So all emergency management is already
Am I gonna get a second?
Come talk to y'all, but he wasn't able to show up today.
Am I gonna get a second on this motion?
I'll second it.
Thank you.
All right. I have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Looks like it's a draw. I'm staying out of it. So we're gonna table it by default. You might say it's a.
And I'll get Chris to come by and talk with you. He should have done that prior.
Can I ask you a question? Jeff, how many days is Emmett there a month?
Average, maybe 5 out of the month.
Why couldn't we split office with him and Chris if he's not there?
The offices are decent size, but have two desks in there that probably not going to work out, but they're not going to be comfortable.
Judge.
But
I abstain. It's a draw. It doesn't go anywhere. We'll have. I think we can come up with something if we get a little time to look into it a little more. Commissioner, I'm going to pass the gavel. You can deal with the paying the bills and all that stuff. I'm going to.
Have a good time,
Dave. Okay.
Is this yours or mine?
Sheriff's gone, right?
Yep.
Yes.
I asked him if he had anything on Lonestar. He said,
just don't move me out of my office while I'm gone.
We just might add somebody to your
office. That's
fine. You're that gavel. You're
that gavel. Just go down there and sit.
No.
You gotta move all that.
All right, we'll move to number six.
Hold on. Mr. Wilson, Ms. Wilson, y'all can leave if y'all want to. I mean, we're finished. It'll be a while before he. It'll be a couple days before he gets that drawn up for you. So I didn't know.
Come on.
That's up to y'all. That's up to y'all. I just want to tell you.
Yes, sir.
That way you have time to buy your wife lunch while you.
For what, sir? What are you on the agenda for?
Make a presentation for a new medical program, savings program.
Well, no, I'm agenda.
If you need me to, I can come back. I mean, I can go. I've got everything ready now.
So what are you presenting?
It's a savings program and a group medical plan. We can save y'all about $400,000 a year, and I'm going to show you how we do that.
It ain't on the agenda, though. That's the only thing.
Well, let me.
Okay. The judge told me last week that I was on the agenda, but I mean, I'm not trying to.
I'm sorry?
I think he may have not been with Higginbotham.
He told me to be here at 9 o'clock today.
I bet he did.
So have you spoke with the treasurer at all about it?
I
ain't
going to
be in. No.
Yeah. No, I'm
going
to go. Well, I'm going to tell you what the judge told me to do. Yeah. I've talked to you in the past years, I think. Well,
I mean, she would be the ones that handles.
Well, but I've talked about a presentation. Show y'all how all this works. Y'all are the ones that have to make the decision.
But she hears it, and then she can put it on the agenda for us, and then we can.
I'll just tell you what I was told.
Right.
Okay, I'll just give you the presentation.
All right, well, he's going to visit with her and set up something and come back. I'll move to number six, which is approval of claims.
Why that phone's loud?
Yeah, you're welcome.
got weeklies in there?
This is all I have. It's very thin. It says court unpaved. Unpaved courts. Really? See, I don't think I got the weeklies. I have this and then the grants unpaid and then court invoices for indigent health care. Here you go. They eat. Yeah, but it's still only six pages.
Motion by Commissioner Sweeney and second by Commissioner Dominey to pay the bills. All those that are here in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? There is no opposed. It passes 3-0. So, you want me to?
Wherever you want to sign.
Number seven, there are none. There are no budget amendments or revenue certifications, so there's no action. Move number eight, consider approval of minutes of meetings of regular meeting March 5th, 2025, monthly meeting March 19th, 2025, special meeting March 24th, 2025.
I make a motion to approve the minutes.
Minimums.
I second it.
We've got a motion by Commissioner Dominey and second by Commissioner Sweeney to approve the minutes. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, there is none. It passes 3-0.
So do you want to sign those or do you want me to just show the judge that we approved it and have him sign?
I can sign them if you got them. We'll just sign them.
Okay. There you go.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Want this back?
I can return it. You can keep them.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Well, I move to item number 9, receive and consider approval of March 2025 departmental report. I'm missing the fire marshal again. Did y'all have the fire marshal? Is that the only one y'all missing?
Hold on.
I'll make the motion to approve the departmental reports except for the fire marshal.
I'll second that.
I've got a motion by myself to approve the March departmental reports and a second by Commissioner Dominic. Any other comments or questions? All those, raise your hand and say aye.
Sorry, I wasn't here.
Passes 3-0. Mr. Morrow, step back in. I believe we're through with our business. Y'all, have I passed?
Bring on.
I have the Office of Emergency Management, and it's got a report behind it. Is that all he's turning in?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because it says / Fire Marshal's Office. I don't know if that's any help or not.
Much of. You know, though, saying all that to say this, you still have an overseer.
I think we've covered everything, right?
To adjourn.
Make a motion to adjourn.
I second that.
Okay.
I understand. We all make them.
Motion by
Sweeney.
Commissioner Sweeney and second by Commissioner Dominic. All those say aye. Aye. Please see you tomorrow.
Meeting is adjourned.